This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, we bring you an hour-length drama based on the novel Dodsworth by Sinclair Lewis. A few weeks ago, we presented a portrait of the American in Europe, Henry James, the portrait of a lady. Today, we bring you another literary picture of the American abroad, expressed in a different idiom. Sinclair Lewis's Dodsworth, in a version prepared for NBC by Agnes Eckhart. And at intermission, we will bring you a transcribed commentary on the writings of Sinclair Lewis by Dr. Irwin Edmund, chairman of the Department of Philosophy at Columbia University and author of Philosopher's Quest. Herewith, Dodsworth by Sinclair Lewis.
In the bustling town of Zenith, in the year 1925, lived a self-made man of 50. He had $1 million, 2 grown children, and a beautiful wife. All the requirements for a happy life. This, then, is the story of that man. Of Sam Dodsworth and Fran.
Oh, it's a wonderful party, Sam. And Fran looks lovely, as always.
Yes, she does, doesn't she?
Oh, Sambo, you got a lot to celebrate tonight, you old hunk of cheese. Yeah, what with Emily getting married and then you closing that deal with United Automotive.
I guess you're right, Tub. But when you've worked and grown with something for 25 years, well, makes you feel sort of like a horse out of harness without it.
Yeah, I know, Sambo. Oh, you'll have some other big deal lined up in a couple of weeks.
What's this I hear?
Oh, Fran, dear.
Hello, sweet.
Did you say Sam would be in another business soon, Tub?
Why, sure. Sam can never just sit around.
Oh, he's not going to just sit around. We're going to Europe.
No!
Europe?
Yes, we decided it this morning.
Well, Europe, eh? Well, listen, I got a nephew in England, and I know several other people over there. I'll give you their names, Fran, so you can look them up.
Yes,
now, my nephew,
yes, Chubb, that would be delightful. But I must say about the punch right away. Excuse me.
Glad that's over.
That was a swell party, and you were the best-looking woman there, as usual. Fran, did I remember to tell you I adore you?
Don't, Sam. Not now. I want to talk, dear.
Don't you want me to kiss you?
Why do you always ask that, in that hurt way? You're so silly.
Don't you want me to kiss you?
Good heavens, my dear man, haven't I been your wife for 22 years? That's because I don't like the reek of whiskey. Besides, I have something most awfully important to talk about.
Lord, you don't have to coax. Let's have it.
Pull up that chair.
All right. Well, let's have it.
Well, tonight you said we were going to Europe for 2 months.
Sure, I thought that's what
Sam, let's not tie ourselves down to saying we'll come back in 2 or 4 months. Or even 4 years.
Good Lord.
I'd almost like to sell this house, so we won't have anything to bind us.
Fran, honey, this is our home. Sell the house,
what? Of course, we don't have to do that. I only meant it as an example of how free we'd be. Sam, I'm absolutely not going to let my life be over at 40. Well, at 41. But no one ever takes me for more than 35 or even 33. Why, in Europe, a woman of 40 is just getting to the age where important men take a serious interest in her. But here she's a grandmother.
Oh, no,
could enjoy life, too, if you didn't let business sap every single ounce of energy you have. Sam, I only have 5 or 10 more years to continue being young in, and I won't waste it.
Fran, you've got to give me time. I'm starting this business of being free about 35 years too late.
Oh, but Sam, darling, I could love you so much more if we weren't a pair of old horses in a treadmill.
Well, it'll make you happy, dear. I'll enjoy life if it kills me, and it probably will. Fran, come up on deck with me.
All this unpacking, it's terrible. I'll get things put away just about in time for landing.
Oh.
Sam! Sam Dodsworth, put me down.
No, I won't. This is our honeymoon. We're eloping. I'm sentimental and I don't care. Darling, did I remember to tell you I adore you? Hey, this is great. Nothing to do but amuse ourselves.
I say, do you mind if I sit here? The lounge is a bit crowded this evening.
Not at all.
Lockett is my name. Major Lockett.
How do you do? I'm Sam Dodsworth, my wife.
So happy to know you. I noticed you on deck this afternoon.
Oh, did you?
Decent weather for a February crossing.
Is it? I don't really know, you see. I never crossed before.
Really?
Well, Sam's an inveterate businessman, Major Lockett. But I've spent some time in Europe.
Will you stay in London for a bit?
I'm afraid I've lost touch with most of my friends.
Well, I'd be very happy to show you about a bit, if I might.
Oh, we'd adore it. Wouldn't we, Sam?
Yes, you bet. Don't want to inconvenience you any, though.
Mrs. Dodsworth, may I have the next dance?
Certainly. You don't mind, do you, Sam?
Of course not. Run along and enjoy yourself, dear.
You're the boy in college. Incredible.
Well, I did marry frightfully young.
You're nothing but a girl still.
Well, I must say I feel like one right now. Sam is such an adorable love, but... Well, being quite a bit older than I, he's rather settled.
Of course. Understand perfectly.
There. Over there, Fran. See the light blinking?
Yes, Sam.
That's England.
Home.
Now, aren't you glad you let me drag you away from your admirers for 5 minutes?
It's been fun for the first time in so many years. You haven't minded, have you, darling?
Oh, of course not. Been great to see you enjoying yourself. I haven't learned to play quite as well as Lockett and some of these young fellas, but you just give me time. You just wait and see.
Of course you'll learn to play, my big brown bear. Oh, it's going to be wonderful, Sam. Just the two of us, on a big adventure.
Just the two of us. Fran, did I remember to tell you I adore you? Hmm?
Oh, there you are.
Oh, hello, Larkin.
Rather treacherous to come up on deck without a coat. Brought you a wrap, Fran.
Oh, how thoughtful of you, Clyde.
I guess I was a bit forgetful. Sighting land in it.
Yes, tomorrow we'll be in London. I hope you'll let me show you around about as much as I can.
I really don't know what we do without you, Clyde.
Well, we don't want to be a burden now.
Oh, nonsense, old man. I think you really should go in out of this wind, Fran.
Perhaps you're right, Clyde. Coming, Sam?
No. No, I'm going to stay a while. I don't mind the wind. Hello, dear. Wide awake?
Not quite.
Oh. More flowers?
Mm-hmm. They came while you were at breakfast.
From Lockett again?
Mm-hmm. Hand me my mirror and brush like a deer, would you?
Fine morning, Fran.
Is it? Oh, dear. I should have my hair done.
Fran, we've been in England a month now.
That long?
Remember when we planned this trip? We said we'd walk around a lot together and see things. But, well, our time's been so taken up by Lockhart showing us England, we haven't gotten to see much of it.
Why, that's not kind, Sam. We'd be lost without Clyde. You should be grateful to him.
Oh, I am. I guess. Sure, but, well, I mean, just this morning, couldn't you and I sort of do the town, historic spots and so
on? Oh, good heavens, Sam. We're not trippers. I hate those postcard places.
Fran, I must say I don't get you. What's the idea of coming to a famous city and then not seeing the places that made it famous? You don't have to send postcards if you don't want to.
You'll never understand, my dear man, because you and I look at things in totally different lights. But if you want to see the sights, go run along. Be back in time for tea, though. Clyde is coming. Sugar, Clyde.
Thank you.
Saw A.B. Heard today, sweet. You remember, he's the Revelations Motor representative over here. Wants to give a bachelor dinner next Saturday evening for me to meet some of the American businessmen here. And, well, I think I ought to do it. He's trying so hard to be nice.
And you'd like it? Be back in all the Rotarian joys of Zenith?
You bet your life I'd like it. We having a date for that evening, if I remember. Could you get up a hen party or go to the movies or something?
I say, Fran, would you care to dine with me that evening and go to the opera?
Well, I...
Fine, it's a go.
Thank you so much, Clyde, for coming to my rescue.
Not at all.
Still up on? Did you have a nice time at the opera?
Oh.
What is it? Sweet, what is it?
Oh, Sam, I'm so miserable.
Hmm?
They say it's a compliment for a woman to be insulted. But, Sam, I never gave him the slightest excuse.
Fran, who are you talking about?
Why, Major Lockhart, of course. After the opera, he suggested we come up here for a drink. Well, he started telling me how unhappy his childhood had been. I almost cried, and then he told me how much it had meant to him to know me, and the next thing I knew, he'd thrown his arms around me and was trying to kiss me. Oh, Sam, darling, I've never been so insulted, so hurt, so horribly misunderstood. Oh, so innocent. Or do you think I let him on?
No. I'm sure you didn't, Fran, but still...
What? Say it.
As a matter of fact, I don't entirely blame Lockhart.
What?
You've been flirting with him right along, you have. And you have such a nice way of bawling me out in his presence, making me feel like a Midwestern bull in a Bond Street china shop, and Lockhart listening to
Now
it,
you like... listen to me! I've never said anything to embarrass you. And anything I've ever done has been through helpfulness and loyalty.
I suppose you call it loyalty to be constantly suggesting that I'm merely an ignorant businessman, whereas anybody that has an English or French accent is a gentleman and a scholar. After all, I've managed to deal with a few English importers without feeling...
Sam, you're like all other American men. You don't have the mistiest notion of what European civilization is, basically. And you don't want to learn. You never could be European.
Fran, stop sneering.
I'm not sneering.
Stop it. Oh, dear. I don't pretend to be European. Why should I? I'm American. I'm glad of it. You know, I... never try to prevent your being as European as you want to be, but don't take your soreness at Lockhart out on me, please.
Oh, I know, Sam. I'm sorry. I'm so terribly ashamed.
Oh, there.
I'm embarrassed and ashamed right down through me. I just can't stand living in this country with that man, thinking he's laughing at me. I want to leave England at once, Sam. I want to go to France, now.
Oh, but golly, Fran, I'm just getting to know London. France will be so foreign.
Precisely. I want it to be. I want to start all over again. Oh, Sam, darling. There'll be just the two of us. Well, let's go.
Oh.
I did intend to see some airplane factories here. In fact, I made a date. When do you want to leave, dear? Oh, France doesn't look as foreign as I was afraid it would. You know, I like it already.
I'm so glad. Sam,
hmm?
You know, I just remembered that Jerry Watts, who used to live in Zenith, is in Paris now.
Hmm?
We'll have to look him up.
Oh, that lace collector? Oh, no, Fred.
Oh, now, Sam, well, Jerry's really cultured. He enjoys a fine leisure. And I'm sure he knows lots of interesting people in Paris.
Well, you darlings. I rushed right over here as soon as I got your note.
It's so nice to see you, Jerry.
Hello, Watts.
I always told you this was the city for you, didn't I now? But what have you done? Whom have you met?
Oh, we've seen Notre Dame, been on top of the Eiffel Tower.
Of course, you must let me take you about and introduce you to people. I mean, really, people.
Oh, we just love it.
There's to be a tea on Sunday at Endicott Everett 8 Atkins. He'd love me to bring you, I know.
Really? Endicott Everett Atkins?
Who's that? Sounds like a business college yell.
Sam. He's dean of the American Literary Colony here.
Oh.
And Princess Maravigliasi will be there, and of course, Madame de Pinable. And if she takes a fancy to you, why, you'll be in, my dear, simply in.
Madame de Pinable?
Renée de Pinable knows everyone, and unless you know her, you aren't anyone. I mean...
Well, we might have...
Oh, we'd adore going with you, Jerry.
My dear Mr. and Mrs. Dodsworth, I'm so honored that you came this afternoon. But do you know everyone? Have you met Renée de Pinable yet? She was asking to meet you.
Really? No, I haven't.
Well, you must come along, then.
Sam!
You go along, dear. I'll join you as soon as I, I'd like a little tea.
Yes. Well, please make yourself at home, Mr. Dodsworth. Come along.
Thank you.
That's quite all right, Mr. Dodsworth. I'll share the balcony with you.
Well, I remember we were introduced, but...
Yes, there are a lot of people, aren't there? My name is Edith Cortright.
Oh, certainly. I'm afraid I have a bad American memory for names.
I'm an American, too. Or was.
No.
I was born in Michigan. But my husband was with the British Embassy, so I've lived in a good many places.
Oh, and you're living in Paris now?
Oh, no. I'm only here for a week. Since my husband's death, I've stayed in Italy.
Italy must be nice, huh?
It is.
I'd like to go there.
Why don't you?
Oh, we will someday. Fran, that's my wife. Fran and I are taking a long vacation and seeing Europe leisurely.
Sam, I've been looking everywhere. Oh.
Hello, dear. Mrs. Cortright, may I present my wife?
I'm very happy to know you, Mrs. Dodsworth.
How do you do? Sam.
Mrs. Cortright lives in Italy. She was just telling me what a nice country it is.
I hope you'll visit Italy during your tour of Europe, Mrs. Dodsworth.
Oh, we shall, of course. We're staying indefinitely.
Where are you in Italy, Mrs. Cortright?
Venice, most of the time. I have an apartment at the Ascania Palace. When you're in Venice, I'd be delighted if you'd take tea with me.
That would be lovely. Thank you so very much.
Well, I'd better join my friends. Goodbye.
Bye, Miss Cortright. Very glad to have met you.
Thank you.
Nice woman.
But awfully dull. No chic about her at all.
She doesn't dress flashily, if that's what you mean.
Sam, do come along and meet Madame de Pinable. She's the most marvelous person. She's invited us to lunch and at the Hermitage. You remember, Jerry Watts said, if Madame de Pinable...
Sure, I remember. Looks like you're launched at last, huh, friend?
Hello? Oh, Madame de Pinable, I was just going to ring you. I did have such a marvelous time last evening. Captain Josero? Yes, so charming. Oh, did he say that? Well, I was particularly impressed by him, too. Cocktails today, that would be delightful. Yes, at 5. Sam? Oh, of course, he'd adore to come.
Fran, I was thinking, if you don't have anything planned for the day...
Planned? Heavens! There aren't enough hours in the day. I'm going riding with Captain Josero this morning.
Yes, but...
Then lunch with Rene de Penable. There's my French lesson and cocktails at the Crayon with Endicott Everett Atkins and Billy Dawson. How shall I ever have time to dress for dinner? What were you going to say, Sam?
Hmm? Oh, I don't suppose there's time to say it. Hello, sweet.
You're late.
Well, I met an American journalist.
Oh, that... you smell of whiskey atrociously.
Oh, we only...
Now, please hurry and dress. Captain Josero and you and I are going to the theater. Now, please hurry.
French play we're going to see?
Well, certainly.
I want to know which is the husband and which is the other man for at least the first two acts. Fran, honey, I've got an idea.
Would you just unfasten this snap on my shoulder strap? Would you mind, darling?
No.
Thank you.
Look here, Fran, I've got an idea. It's almost May. We could get in a month or more on the Mediterranean and still have time to be home late in June, and then I could go to my class reunion. 30th, you know.
Really? 30th?
Oh, I'm not so old. But I just mean there's several business things I ought to settle up at home, and... There's this reunion, and I'd kind of like to see Emily in her new home, and Brent...
Darling,
and...
would you mind handing me the cold cream that's in the bathroom? Oh, no, I think it's on the bureau. Thanks.
I thought we could go home for just a couple of months, or maybe three, and then start out again.
Yes, but not now. Now that we know such nice people here.
Well, they're a lively bunch, and a lot of them good families, but I don't think they are nice.
What do you mean?
Oh, I think they're a bunch of wasters, Fran. All they do, Penoble and her old gang, is just dance and chatter and show off their clothes.
Sam, let's get this straight. I've felt you've been sulking, that you've been afraid to say what you thought. Well, I'm sick and tired of having to apologize. Yes, to apologize for the crime of having introduced you to some of the nicest, the most amusing people in Paris. The whole subject is distasteful to me. When you attack someone who has been as sweet to me as Renee has...
Well, what about the young gigolos that are always hanging around Mrs. Penoble?
I suppose you're referring to boys like Josero and Billy Dawson. They actually enjoy being charming to women. They enjoy sharing their leisure with women.
Oh, they enjoy leisure, all right. Oh, Fran, I don't mean to be nasty about them, but you know they graft on women.
Of all...
Now, please listen, Fran. Now, look, boy... Don't you and Mrs. Penoble always pay the bills for Josero and Dawson?
Their name, as I've remarked hundreds of times before, is Madame de Penoble. And if you're objecting to the money, please remember I have $20,000 a year income of my own. Now that I have a chance to be happy with amusing
Will
people.
You stop dramatizing yourself? You know good and well that... You know these young men are no good. Nothing but a bunch of butterflies.
Well, thank heavens for the butterflies. I'm so tired of the worthy ants. Sam, we might just as well have this out. If we're going on together...
If we're... Why, friends...
Let's get it straight. Just what are we up to? What we want? Now that we're meeting them... Do you actually appreciate people with wit and elegance, or have you already had enough of them?
Oh, why, Fran, darling, I just want you to be happy. I'd do anything in the world for you. You know that. You mustn't say things like that just now if we're going to be together. Of course we are. I only thought I'd like to go home for a while this summer.
Then you go, Sam. I've practically promised Renee de Penoble to take a villa with her near Montreux for the summer.
Oh, I see. All right, Fran. Perhaps it would be better if I did go. Goodbye, dear.
Oh, I didn't realize how much I'll miss you. Perhaps I'll join you in Zenith. Do have the very best time you can, darling. Oh, my dear, forgive your idiotic, feather-brained wife. But let her have her foolish fling now. Take care of yourself, and don't be angry with me. Or do be angry if it makes you any happier. Bless you!
Darling! Darling, did I remember to tell you I adore you?
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a radio version of Dodsworth by Sinclair Lewis. If you are interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, Dr. Irwin Edmund.
Sinclair Lewis's Dodsworth is a significant contemporary classic. I remember reading it while I myself was spending a year in Europe in the early 30s. I recall how accurately it seemed to me to catch the ambiguity of feeling of Americans in Europe toward their own country and toward that world exotic and enchanting, which Europe always appears to be, especially to the vaguely and mildly cultivated. Europe appears exotic and enchanting even now in its distress to Americans visiting it for the first time. The theme of the American in Europe is an old story, told repeatedly by Hawthorne, repeated with variations in the novels of Henry James. The sensitive American discovers in Europe the source and roots of his own culture and of his own aspirations. It has often been pointed out how the American coming to England for the first time does not so much discover that lovely land as recognize it. Americans also come to Europe with nothing less than an inferiority complex. The Mrs. Dodsworth of the book, in the light of her European travel, comes to think of the Middle West and of most of her compatriots as crude. But Americans discovering culture in Europe have often thereby been enabled to rediscover themselves. Mr. Dodsworth finds, as over against the decadence, tiredness, and corruptions of an old society, the sturdiness, the freshness, and the honest simplicities of himself and his compatriots. Now, Sinclair Lewis simplifies to the point of caricature Mrs. Dodsworth's naive adoration of the surfaces and polish of European culture. And Mr. Dodsworth is exaggerated in his sturdy Americanism and his sturdy rediscovery of it. But the book, nonetheless, is immensely suggestive. It dramatizes the native excellences, the characteristic limitations of our predominantly industrial society that, with respect to culture, is still something of the impatience of the frontier. But the lesson to be drawn is not the simple-minded lesson that Mr. Dodsworth draws, that America is God's country and Europe an empty, whitened sepulcher of corruption. What we prize as characteristically American is always a variation of some ancient theme or style or mode of life or feeling that goes a long way back in the history of Europe and the history of Christianity, in the history of the traditions of the Western world. In the 19th century, American literature and American feeling among the educated classes displayed a diffident colonialism, or sometimes a crude revolt against that colonialism. We need, as Emerson told us, to stand on our own feet. But what we are standing on is a whole of European culture. This, in an oblique way, Dodsworth makes dramatically clear.
Thank you, Dr. Edmund. Our radio version of Dodsworth will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Well, howdy, Mr. Dodsworth.
Hello, Horace.
I reckon the door's gotten kind of crickety. You and the missus been gone so long.
Yes, that's right. Horace, if you have something else to do, I can go through the house alone.
Long, no.
I think I'll go into the bedroom.
Sure thing. I'll come along.
Well?
This were your bedroom, weren't it?
This? Yes, this was our bedroom.
Pity. Pity the missus couldn't have come home with you. She was always so lively to see about.
Yes.
Reckon she'll be staying over there much longer?
No. No, not much longer, Horace. As a matter of fact, I'm going back to get her next week.
Oh, Sam.
Fran, did I remember to write you that I adore you?
Sam, the most dreadful thing has happened. Oh, that brawling fool, Rene de Penable.
What happened?
Why, we had the most dreadful row. One evening, well, she had had too much to drink. And suddenly, she turned on me like a fishwife. She accused me of stealing Captain Josero from her, which was idiotic as well as false, because she never did have him. So how could I have stolen him from her, supposing I had the slightest desire to? Oh, I've never had anybody talk to me the way she did. It was simply dreadful.
Oh, there, now, Fran. It's going to be all right.
Well, it's not all right, Sam. I can't stay in Paris another minute. Sam, I want to leave right away.
Oh, of course, darling. We'll take the next boat home.
Oh, no. No, not back to Zenith. Let's go to Germany. My father's relatives are there, and, well, I really should see them while I'm in Europe.
Oh, but...
Oh, please, dear. Really, we'll be just the two of us this time. I promise not to be foolish again.
Mighty nice of you, Herr Biedner, to give this nice dinner for Fran and me.
But you are my relations. This is a family reunion.
Yes. Say, that young man who was sitting next to Fran during dinner, you introduced us, but, well...
Hmm? Ah, yeah. You mean Kurt von Oberstdorf. He is really a count, head of one of the greatest Austrian families. The family has lost all its money now. Kurt cannot afford even to marry. His old mother lives in Salzkammergut. And poor Kurt works in the Berlin Bureau of the International Tourist Agency. But he's a fine sport about it.
You know, I liked him right off.
Oh, but natürlich. Here he comes now with your wife.
I have behaved outrageously. Your wife thinks I have insulted her because I say that she is only making believe when she thinks herself European. She is lovely, really. But she is American. Can I please take you about Berlin? It would make me so very happy.
Oh, we mustn't trouble you.
Oh, but it would be a pleasure. Tomorrow, Sunday, are you free? May I take you to a funny place for lunch?
Oh, that would be so kind of you.
Oh, splendid. I called for you at 12.
Oh, it's been such a glorious day.
Yes, it sure has.
You did enjoy it? You are not just being kind?
It was wonderful.
Oh, it's so kind of you to come and bummel with me and meet my friends.
Well, Kurt, we're certainly going to remember this day. That restaurant tonight was a perfect ending.
Oh, but the evening is not ended. I know a lovely place where we could go to dance. If you're not too tired, madame, you dance, I know, like an angel.
Oh, well, it's pretty late, Kurt. I think we ought to be getting home.
Yes, it is late.
Oh, no. Life is so short to waste it in sleeping. And you are here a so small time. Please, life is so short.
Oh, of course we'll come.
Life will be a darn sight shorter if I don't get some sleep once in a while.
You did enjoy yourself, didn't you, dear?
Oh, sure I did. I like this von Oberstdorf. Kind of like an American, isn't he? Got a sense of humor and doesn't take himself too seriously.
No, it's a very different thing. He's completely European.
Americans are humorous to cover up their worry about things. The real European has a sense of 1,000 years of ancestors like himself behind him. Count Oberstdorf doesn't take himself seriously. Oh, he is rather a lamb. So sweet to have invited us to his flat for dinner.
Yeah, nice fella. Good night.
And I thought that perhaps tomorrow night we might dine at the Wintergarten on the terrace and watch the vaudeville.
Oh, that would be amusing.
Oh, but look here, Kurt. You've been chasing around with us every night. We don't want to monopolize you.
Oh, please do not even think of such a thing, Sam. It is you who are kind. Of course, I do not wish to intrude.
Oh, but you don't at all. We love it, don't we, Sam?
Sure thing. You bet.
Then it is settled. Tomorrow night we go to the Wintergarten.
Fran, dear, we've got to come down to cases now. We've been drifting without any
plans. Oh, please, please, can't we wait till tomorrow to talk? I'm so tired.
But we'll put it off the way we've been putting it off if we wait until tomorrow.
Well, does it matter?
Well, it certainly does. Now, by heaven, I'm going to get a little stubborn myself for once.
For once? Sam, as if you were ever anything else.
All right, have it your way. I'm always stubborn, you won't be surprised.
And please don't shout.
Well, I'm not shouting. Now, Fran, please quit playing the cat and mouse with me, huh? Now, look here. It's getting time for us to go home. Now, I do like Von Oberstdorf, but what if we stay here? We'll find ourselves mixed up with a whole lot of folks, and we won't get away for weeks.
What of it? Isn't that what we want? Isn't it worthwhile, really, knowing one European city? Not that Kurt has anything to do with it. It's really my cousins, the Bidners.
But it's Kurt that counts. He isn't satisfied unless everybody's having a party all the time, unless he sees you every day. And especially if he's sort of attracted to you.
Sam, are you hinting that he and I... Oh, this is too much. This really is too much.
Fran, stop acting. Now, I know perfectly well that so far this Oberstdorf fella and you have been as innocent as babe. But I also know that you could get too fascinated
Nonsense. By him. All we have is the polite interest that any European gentleman and lady have in each other.
Well,
Now, let me remind you that in spite of the fact that he is quite hard up, he never fails to pay his share of the bills.
Yeah, I know that. It'd be so much easier if he weren't so darn fair and square. Come in. Oh, hello, Kurt.
Oh, hello, Sam. Is that wife of ours late again? Oh, my roses came. I'm so glad. Sam, I brought you a box of real Havana cigars smuggled through without duty.
Well, that's very...
Sam, have you any idea how thankful a lonely poor man, and to a Wiener like me, Berlin is just as foreign as to you? So thankful to have Fran and you tolerate me while you are here.
Well...
But you're so good, so good. Fran, are you not dressed? You are keeping your poor children waiting. If I were Sam, I should beat you.
Coming, Kurt. There. Was I really so long?
Wow. Oh, lovely. Oh, you are a golden poem. Etched on ivory.
Kurt.
Well, how about a drink? Fran, wake up.
Good heavens, what is it?
A cable from home. Well, I guess we'll be going back to old Zenith now.
What's happened? Is anything wrong?
Wrong, I'll say not. Emily has a son, 9 pounds. We're granddaddy and grandmammy now.
How is
Golly,
Emily?
Golly, I'll call Kurt and tell him about our grandson and...
Wait!
Huh? What's the matter?
I'm delighted, of course. Oh, dear Emily. She'll be so happy. But Sam... Don't you realize that Kurt... I don't mean Kurt individually. I mean all our friends in Europe. They think of me as young.
Hmm?
Young. And I am. I am. If they knew I'm a grandmother.
grandmother.
Yes.
Sam, what? Can't you see? It's horrible. It's the end of me. Think. Oh, I was so young when I married. It isn't fair for me to be a grandmother now at under 40.
Under 40?
A grandmother. Lace caps, knitting, and rheumatism. Please, please try to understand. It isn't that I'm not utterly happy for Emily's sake, but I have my own life, too. You mustn't tell Kurt. Ever. Do you understand?
Yes, I think I see what you mean. Well, I'll go cable to Emily and Harry.
You're over here, Sam.
Hello, Kurt. Hello, sweet. Sorry to keep you waiting. I stopped by the hotel for the mail.
Oh, but of course.
Say, who do you think's in London and going to Paris, huh? Tubb and Mady.
Oh, really? Tubb is an old friend of Sam's. Quite a prosperous banker. If they come to Berlin, they'd be awfully happy to meet you, Kurt.
Oh, but they're not coming to Berlin. We'll see him in Paris. Oh, we ought to skip right down there and welcome him.
Well, Sam, dear, I don't see any reason under heaven why we should go down.
Oh, but don't you want to see Tubb and Mady?
Well, if you must know, I think your good friend, Mr. Tubb Pearson, is a little heavy in the hand.
Hmm?
And you yourself have admitted that Mady is dreadfully uninteresting. No, you can do what you like, but I'm not going.
Oh, Fran, you could make it so much more pleasant.
Well, it's
for
all
them.
Very well to be friendly, but I'm not going to travel 15 hours in a dirty train for the pleasure of acting as an unpaid cook's guide to Mr. and Mrs. Tubb Pearson.
All right. I'll go by myself.
As you wish. Of course, your beloved Tubb will want to go to the most stupid and Americanized places in Paris.
You're probably right. Tubb will want to get drunk in the Montmartre.
And I will say, Sambo, this is Paris, nice place. Ain't all they're cracked up to be. But back in.
You're dead to the world.
Hard luck. But we all slip now and then.
Oh, don't apologize. I don't mind, honestly. Tubb doesn't get like this more than once a year.
You know, matey, you're a swell gal. I wish Fran hadn't caught that touch of flu. She'd have loved seeing you.
Don't lie to me, Sam, darling. Rather, don't lie to yourself. Oh, Sam, when are you going to chuck Fran and let yourself be happy again?
Why, matey, I'm as happy
as... Oh, Sam, I know it's none of my business, and you can tell me so whenever you want to, but... Sam, I've seen you change a lot more than you know these last 10 years. Oh, Sam, when I think of how she's treated you, I just want to wallop her.
Well, matey, I admit there's something to what you say, but Fran has got kind of a charm, a fascination, whatever you want to call it, for me that nobody else has.
Sam, darling, it makes your friend sore to see you eternally apologetic to your wife when she ought to thank her lucky stars she's got you.
Yes, yes, but you see, matey, in a lot of ways, wife, Fran's still a child, and she's my child. I have to take care of her. I've thought about it a lot since I've been away from her, and I've made up my mind that when I go back to her in Berlin, we'll take the next boat home. Yes, sir, I'm going to take Fran home.
May I go in?
Yes. Yes, you can come in for just a moment, but not long. Poor little Fran. She's all in. Ah, what an orchestra that was. I could have danced till dawn.
Good evening. I just got back from Paris. Don't mind if I turn on the lights, do you?
Oh, Zem, I'm so glad you got back safe. Fran and I have been dancing. Now, I will go home, and tomorrow I ring you up about lunch. Good night.
Good night, Kurt.
Good night.
dear. I came back so quickly. Listen, dear, I flew because I couldn't live without you. I'm not angry that Kurt and you were out so late.
Why should you be?
Well, Fran, darling, I've come back to you, willing to do everything I can to make you happy. I adore you. You know that. Oh, Fran, you're everything I have. Only we've got to cut out this nonsense of being homeless adventurers and go home.
And that's your idea of making me happy? And now you listen. I love Kurt, and Kurt loves me, and I'm going to marry him, no matter what it costs me. We decided it tonight.
Fran.
You have no complaint. You've never known me. You've never known what sacrifices I made to cover up your awkwardness and help you keep your dull friends and your dull work and your dull reputation.
Right.
Oh, Sam, if I could only make you see that it's your ignorance, your impotence, not my fault. Poor, yes. Kurt and I will be poor. Thank heaven you'll have my $20,000 a year.
All right. Just one thing. Does he want to marry him?
Yes.
Can you get a divorce in Germany?
Yes, I believe so. Kurt says so.
Then you'll stay in Berlin.
Suppose you'll return to Paris, at least for a while.
Well, really haven't had much time to make plans, but... No, I won't go back to Paris. I guess I'll go to Italy.
Oh, pardon me.
Yes?
Why, you're Mrs. Cartwright, aren't you? I suppose you don't remember me. We met one day...
But of course, Mr. Dodsworth. So you and Mrs. Dodsworth came to Italy after all.
Oh, she's, she had to stay in Berlin.
Really? You're here alone?
Yes, Anne.
Well, I hope you'll still accept my invitation to tea.
I'd be awful glad to.
Well,
You walking this way?
Just doing a bit of shopping. There's a little pastry shop this way that... Perhaps you'd like to come along and come home for a cup of tea this afternoon if you haven't friends waiting for you.
I don't know a soul in this town.
In that case, you must come, surely.
Well, I'd surely like to. Hey, sure is good to taste iced tea for a change.
I rather like it on a hot day.
Must be an awful lot of people you know at the Lido now the season is on, huh?
Yes, unfortunately.
Oh? Don't you like the rotogravure set?
That is a nice thing to call them. I've been looking for a phrase. Some of them are extremely agreeable, of course, but there's an international Anglo-American French set that... Well, they seem to me like a menagerie. There's a dreadful woman named Renée de Pénable.
Oh, you know her?
How can anyone help it? Do you like her?
Oh, I don't know as I ought to say it, but I feel she's a grafter.
No, she's subtler than that. She's quite generous to 99 out of 100 of her group, so that she can get the dazzled 100th to set her up in a gown shop or a charity society or something else that mysteriously collapses in 2 months. She's very amusing, of course.
Edith, I can't tell you how much it's meant to me. You're letting me stop by here and see you. I must have bored you rattling on so much about my troubles.
I've bored you with as many accounts of my own confused life.
Oh, but I wanted to hear. I mean, I can't really picture you.
The confusion's all in myself, really. I'm so afraid of doing the wrong thing that it's easier to do nothing.
You know, that's how I feel myself.
I know. It's so hot here. I've been thinking of going down to Naples to Posilipo, out on the point where it's cool, taking a little house on the estate of some friends.
Well, it's certainly going to be... I mean, if you're not here...
But won't you come along? It might be good for you to swim and sail at Naples instead of sitting here brooding. Would you like to come?
When do we leave?
Oh, this has been a wonderful, wonderful day.
And you said you weren't any good at tennis, Sam.
Well, I'm still a little rusty. Oh, it's good to relax now.
What would you like to do this evening?
Hmm? Oh, whatever you say. Oh, perhaps you'd like to go into the hotel for dinner and dancing?
Well, if you want to. Though I thought perhaps it would be nice just to have a quiet dinner here.
Oh, you mean I don't have to get dolled up and go out? Edith, you're a wonderful woman.
What are you thinking, Sam?
Hmm?
You look rather surprised.
I am. I just realize that I'm definitely and positively happy.
So am I.
Edith, could you like a town like Zenith? I mean, after Venice?
I'd certainly like the adventure of trying it.
Edith.
Signore.
Yes, Teresa.
There is the long-distance telephone call for you.
Long distance?
Si, signore. From Berlin.
Oh, Sam, I'm so miserable and embarrassed. I was such a fool. I didn't appreciate you.
Wait, Fran, what's happened? What's the trouble?
Kurt's mother finally came up from Austria. She was terribly rude. She refused to let Kurt marry an American divorcee who was too old to give him heirs. Oh, Sam.
Kurt sided with his mother, huh?
Yes. Oh, you were so right about him. Sam, I've stopped divorce proceedings, darling. Forgive your bad child, Fran. I'm so lost and scared.
What? What do you plan to do?
I'm sailing on the Deutschland, September 19th. Oh, Sam, you will come, dearest? Will you forgive poor Fran?
Sure, hon. Sure. Be on the boat. Yes, the 19th. Sure. You get the steamer tickets. Edith, I wish there was some way of telling you all that you...
Sam, I won't let you go back to that woman. I won't see you killed. Yes, killed by her sweet, gay, well-mannered, utter selfishness. The world offers you sun and wind, and Fran offers you death. Fear and death. Think of how contented you'd be. Yes, we'd be back there.
I know, Edith. I just can't help it. I have to take care of her.
Yes. Well, it's too late now. But I thought that someday... I can't say any of the things I thought. Bless you, my dear. And heaven protect you through the wickedness of this happy ending.
It's windy today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so nice to be going somewhere. I got so tired sticking around Berlin. And Kurt was so bossy. And when I saw his mother, my dear, the most awful old country frump.
Don't.
What?
Don't know why, but I kind of hate to hear you riding Kurt and his mother. They were probably hurt, too.
Yes, you're right. I'll be a good girl. Of course, everything is all right now. Such a wonderful, happy ending to our wild little escapades. And it is nice to be going home. Oh, there's Tom Allen, the polo player. He's such a dear boy, don't you think? I promised to play a game of table tennis with him this afternoon. You don't mind if I skip off for a few minutes, do you, old Sambo?
Fran, I wonder if we mightn't have dinner here in our stateroom tonight. I wanted to talk
about... Good heavens, Sam. What's come over you? I promised Tom Allen we'd join him in the grill for dinner.
But we must talk.
My dear man, I think we'll manage it. I'm really not going anyplace, you know.
Huh? Not much use in trying to do it tactfully. I wanted to, but... Fran, we can't make a go of it.
Will you kindly, Mr. Dodsworth, tell me just what it is I've done to hurt your tender little feelings this time?
Nothing. We just can't make a go of it. I meant just what I said. I'm going back to Italy from New York on the first ship. Understand, I'm not blaming or criticizing...
So what is to become of me?
I don't know.
You. You do manage to hurt. I congratulate you. You see, I've been flattering myself you really wanted to come back to me.
Fran, I'm not going to be polite. No, you know how awfully I've loved you a good many years. What's going to become of you? I don't know. But for the first time in all of our arguments, I'm going to think of what would become of me. I can't help you, Fran. I'm just your attendant. But me... You can kill me.
After all the years when I've covered up for your ignorance and never...
Understand, I'm finished, Fran. Finished. Edith! Edith! Here I am!
Sam! Sam!
Oh, Edith.
Sam, you've come back.
Yes, my darling. I've come back.
You have been listening to Dodsworth, an NBC theater production of the novel by Sinclair Lewis. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC Theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas, Washington State College, Pullman, Washington, the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas, or Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the Encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. Enroll in a supervised course, and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Next week, be with us again at the NBC Theater for a production of Babylon Revisited by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And the following week, for a new adaptation of Ernest Hemingway's For Whom the Bell Tolls. Dodsworth was adapted for the NBC Theater by Agnes Eckhart. Paul Frees was Sam Dodsworth. Lynn Whitney was Fran Dodsworth. Margaret Brayton was Matey. Jack Crucian, Tubb. Ramsey Hill was Lockhart. Ted Von Eltz was Jerry, Donald Morrison, Atkins, Monty Margetts was Edith, and Dan O'Herlihy, Kurt. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Our intermission commentator was Dr. Irwin Edmond, whose commentary was recorded. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. There are 9 clues to help you win the $27,700 jackpot on Hollywood Calling today on NBC. 2 of Hollywood's favorite personalities will be in the studio to handle the phone calls going out all over America. So, for really exciting entertainment, and for a chance at the $27,700 jackpot, be sure to hear Hollywood Calling today on NBC. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.